Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sukkah Daf Lamed. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 8 lines from the bottom of Daf Lamed. We left off our shiur last time in the middle of a discussion. We featured two deos, or two approaches, to the status of a stolen lulav on the second day of Sukkot. We know that on the first day of Sukkot, a stolen lulav, just as would be the case with a borrowed lulav, would not be sufficient for fulfilling the mitzvah of lulav, because the pasuk says, "Ulekachtem lochem b'yoyim harishon," and we dashin from lochem mishel lochem. It must be your own, something that you own. Hence, something stolen or something that is borrowed does not conform to that requirement. However, on the second day of Yom Tov, which is essentially Durabonon, it's not a Torah-level requirement. The Pasuk indicates that only on the first day of Sukkot are we required to take a lulav. However, Midurabonon we take on the rest of the days of Sukkot. What is the din regarding a stolen lulav then? So, the last point we have seen, and you'll notice the inverted triangle, was the sheet of Rabbi Yitzchak that said that only on the first day is a guzzle, is a stolen one, unfit. However, on the second day onwards, since you would be Yotze with a borrowed one, so too you would be Yotze with a stolen one. Tosfos points out at the very bottom, Mitoch she Yotze b'shol Yotze b'guzzle, hocha davka, since we're dealing with a rabbinic level mitzvah, so the Gemara is not preoccupied with the issue that was mentioned at the top of this omid of mitzvah haboa ba'avira, of a mitzvah that's accomplished through a sin, through the sin of theft. Let us continue now in the Gemara. As we said, 8 lines from the bottom, Mosiv Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Rav Nachman raises a question on Rav Yitzchak's approach. And notice the question itself takes a few lines to develop. The Mishnah had said, Lulav HaGozel VeHayovish Posel. We could infer that Ha Shaul Kosher. The Mishnah says, a stolen or dried out Lulav is unfit. Stolen is unfit, but borrowed would be fit. Amos, the Mishnah is addressing what day of Sukkot. Ilemo b'yom tov rishon, if you were to say that it's referring to the first day, hoksiv lochem. The Torah says lochem, and that means mishel lochem, v'hai lav di dehu, a borrowed one, is not your own, elolav. The Mishnah with its inference, b'yom tov sheni. It says on the second day, then a borrowed one is kosher, the Kotani Gozel Pasul. But the same Mishnah from which we inferred that Sho'ul would be okay, but does say that Gozel is unfit. So that here we have our Mishnah, which is clearly addressing the second day of Sukkot onwards, and it says that Gozel is Pasul, that stolen is unfit, counter to Rav Yitzchak. The Gemara responds, Le'olam b'yom tov rishon. The Mishnah that says lulav ha-gozel is posel is teaching that stolen is unfit, but don't infer from the Mishnah that borrowed would be kosher. In other words, that's not the style or the structure of the Mishnah. The lo mibaya komer. However, the Mishnah is teaching me something else in the what we call the lo mibaya, which literally means I don't need to tell you fashion. What does that mean? I don't need to tell you. The Mishnah tells us what it tells us, and between the lines, it's not telling us what is obvious. So what's the obvious? Lo mi bayo. I don't have to tell you, Shaul, that a borrowed one is not fulfillment, is not satisfactory for fulfillment. Delav didei hu. It's clearly not yours. So the Mishnah is in fact referring to is telling us on the first day it's a stolen one is no good, and it doesn't have to tell you that a borrowed one is no good because it's clearly not yours. And as we said before, the pasuk says ulekachtum lachem by yom harishon, it must be your own. Avol gozel amol, but with regard to a stolen one, I might have thought the following: stam gezela yeush bailim hu uchedidei domi. Your standard case of theft involves the giving up of hope, yeush, the relinquishing and giving up of hope on the part of the owner. And why is that? Because theft in Gezel, as opposed to Genevo, theft takes place in front of the owner. And he sees his item getting stolen, and can't do anything about it. So you can assume he's given up hope on it. And as a result of that, maybe the thief actually gains ownership of the lulav. And when we say he gains ownership, it means that it becomes his. True, he has an obligation of financial restitution. But as far as the lulav itself is concerned, it's his. Kamash Malon, so our Mishnah is telling me that on the first day, even a stolen one is not sufficient for fulfilling the mitzvah of lulav until you would actually hear the owner giving up hope. But otherwise, just by the fact that you stole it and you didn't hear the owner giving up hope on it, it's not considered yours. Yours meaning the thief's. So at this point, we finished that particular discussion in terms of presenting the two approaches to lulav on Yom Tov Sheni that happens to be stolen, and the shita that says that you would be yotzi on Yom Tov Sheni with a stolen lulav has defended his position. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading on the side under which the no say that we've written on the side, which we've indicated it goes until Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph. So daf wise, it continues all the way till Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph. Lamed Amid Beis is a rather short Amid, as you'll see. Rechishas Haminim, and we're going to talk about the Hadas. Rechishas means the acquisition of the different species for the mitzvah of lulav, and here we're going to talk about the specifically the hadas me'akum from an idol worshipper, and we're working with an assumption stam oivdei kechovim gazlone arasot. Your standard idol worshipper is assumed to be a thief of lands. In other words, he will take over people's lands just because he feels like it. He's a land thief. It should be pointed out that, and the Gemara will make this point, that land does not lend itself to theft in the same way that portables, that metaltalin, do. However, we'll talk about the idol worshippers in the context of their harvesting things, cutting things off of property that's not theirs. Under the Mivneh, the structural note, we have a recording of Rav Huna with a firebox around it. Firebox is a rarely used marking in Gemara markings, but it indicates, when you see it, a particular shita, a name, or an idea that will occupy the Gemara for at least an omid, and that will be the case over here. Divrei Rav Huna, lehano havankri. We're going to see Rav Huna's words to the Avankari. These are Moichrim Hadassim, people that are Hadassim merchants. Dekeshehem Rochshim Hadassim Minochim, when they acquire from the idol worshipper suppliers, Shiakpidu, they should be careful. That is the Avankari. These merchants should be careful. Shanochrim heim yakat tu hadasim in amuchubar, that the idol worshippers who are the suppliers, that they should be the ones to cut the hadasim from the fields, velo avankri, and the avankri themselves not to cut it. Hagemara tasbir loma ravhuna hikpid al kach. The Gemara will explain why Ravhuna was insistent that the avankri are not the ones to cut it from the ground. It will take a little while to develop all of the ideas, but that's the general theme. We turn to the Gemara. Omar luhu Ravhuna lahano avankri. Ravhuna turned to these merchants. Ki zavnisu aso me'akum, when you purchase the hadasim, aso hadas, from the akum, the hadas is one of the four minim that constitute the mitzvah of lulav. Lo sigzizu atun, you should not be the ones, the sigzizu was to cut it, cut the branches from the ground. Elo ligzizua inhu, rather let the nochrim, the idol worshippers, cut the hadasim, v'yahavu l'chu, and then they cut it and they give it to you, and that's the way to go. My taima, why is Rav Huna suggesting this? Answer: Stam oivdei kechovim gazlone arasoninhu. Your standard idol worshipper is a land thief. Now Rashi points out, my taima, astam akum gazli arasa mi Yisrael ninhu. Your standard idol worshipper is suspect of stealing land from Jews. V'shema oisakaka mi Yisrael hava, and it could be that the land from which you are acquiring the hadasim, maybe it was Jewish owned land. The Gemara continues at the top of Amud Beis. V'karka eino nigzeles. This is a legal concept. Translated is that land doesn't lend itself to theft. But Rashi adds. So let's read Rashi at the top. V'karka eino nigzeles klomar. Now when you see Rashi using the term klomar, you realize that you're not to translate the Gemara literally, but add explanation. Eino, what does it mean, eino nigzelis? It means eino knuyo legazlin b'shum yeyush. We mentioned yeyush earlier about owners giving up hope of their stolen item, but that is in the case of portables. Not so in the case of land. There is an original legal landowner, and when someone else comes and takes over his land, that original landowner does not relinquish his ownership. He doesn't give up. We know through verses that land is always said to be in the hands of the original legal owner. Avol mishenitlash hapri, and here we've dashed underlined this in Rashi. This is the main point for our sugya. At the point that the vegetation is detached, have a gezel. That is the point of thievery. The hatolsho hu goisloi. The one who detaches it is the thief. Hilkoch ligzizua hein menamachubar. So Rav Huna is telling the merchants, the Jewish merchants, let them, the idol worshippers, cut it from the ground. At that point, the action of thievery has taken place. V'yitnua lochem shiuhein hagazlonim, let them be the thieves. And once it's detached, so obviously it's a portable, so it lends itself to thievery. V'atem loichem oisomehem, and you acquire it, the myrtle branches, the hadasim, from the idol worshippers. V'abaylim nisyashu kfar mikol haperos. And the owner has given up hope from the detached vegetation. V'hava yeush etzlom, and with that the yeush element takes place while it's in the hands of the idol worshippers. V'achar kach hu mishtanem irshuson lushushem, and then it transfers possession from them to you. V'kosovar. Now, Rav Huna is taking the opinion, Yeush greido lo koni, that simple Yeush does not act to acquire. Avol Yeush v'shinui rishus koni. However, the Yeush that took place when it was in the hands of the idol worshippers, Yeush means the giving up of hope on the part of the original owner. That took place, the Yeush took place while it was in the hands of the idol worshippers. V'shinui rishus koni, that Yeush combined with a transfer of ownership from the transfer of possession from the thief to you, the merchants, that makes it such that you have legitimate possession of the hadasim. V'inami koni, and even if you were to say that Yeush alone is kone, nevertheless Rav Huna still prefers that the merchants don't acquire it. Mitzvah bo b'avera havi, im atem tachtechu min ha-mechubar tiu atem goyslim. If you were to cut it from the ground, then the problem would be that you are guilty of the mitzvah, the sin of thievery, and any mitzvah that follows therefrom would be considered a mitzvah habo b'avera, a mitzvah whose origin is in sin. Let us now turn back to the Gemara. We read at the top line, Hilkoch, the Gzizua Inhu, therefore Rav Huna was saying to the merchants, let them, the idol worshippers, cut it. Ki hechi de lehevu yeush bailim biyodayu didhu, so that the element of Yeush takes place in their hands, the Akum's hands, v'shinu horishus biyodayhu, and the change, the transfer of possession is in your hands, and thereby a combination of these two elements of Yeush plus Shinuris makes you legitimate owners of the Hadasim. The Gemara asks, Soif Soif, but still, Ki Gozuzu Avankari, even if the merchants were the ones to do the cutting. Leheve Yeush by Limpiodayu, let the Yeush be while it's in the hands of the Avankari, Vishinui Horishus Biodon, and the change of possession in the hands of your purchasers. After all, the Avankari were merchants. They were wholesalers or middlemen, and as such, there was a further change of possession down the line, namely in the hands of the customers. So the customers would be considered legitimate owners of the Hadassim and be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Arbas Haminim, and that must be yours. Why then still was Rav Huna so insistent that the idol worshippers do the cutting, when in fact, had the merchants done the cutting, the final purchaser of the Hadassim would still be able to fulfill his mitzvah through Yeush plus Shinu Horishus. The Gemara answers, Loi Tzricha, the case of Rav Huna is necessary, B'hoishano da'avankiri gufayhu. Rav Huna was concerned with the Hadassim that the Hoshana is a term used for the lulav and its minim. In this case, we were focusing on the Hadassim. So Rav Huna was concerned with the Hoshana, with the Hadassim of the Avankari themselves. They were Jewish merchants. And they too needed the arba minim for their own mitzvah on Sukkis. So as far as that set of arba minim or of hadasim for the avankari themselves, it was necessary for the idol worshipper to do the cutting, and then at that point Yeush of the original owner would set in, and then you would have the second legal element, requirement, transfer of rishus, what we call shinui rishus, in the hands of the avankari, and they're home safe. They can use those hadasim for their arbas aminim, and they fulfill the requirement of lochem, of it being their own. As we go on in the Gemara, a new marking appears on the side under the Mivneh heading. We have a diamond feature, and the word Veliknuha will appear in the diamonds. Hatzois Chilufios, these are alternative suggestions. Lahodim Ravuno, Shedavka Hanochrim Hem Shikatsu. Up till now, we're working with the assumption, or we're working with the given, that Rav Huna insisted on the idol worshippers doing the cutting. We're going to question that now. Why does Rav Huna insist on the idol worshippers doing the cutting? Let the avankari themselves do the cutting. And you'll say that, well, Yeush alone is not enough, or it's a mitzvah habah b'avera. No. Viliknuha b'shinui maisa. Let the avankari acquire it through an additional change, shinui maisa, a change through action. Let's be much more specific. First, we can look in Rashi. Viliknuha b'shinui maisa. Now, we are working with the idea that Yeush alone doesn't work. The giving up of hope on the part of the owner alone doesn't serve to acquire it for the one that cut it. However, if you combine that with shinui maise, liknua v'shinui maise she ogad shloishes aminim yachad to shinui maise nami koni, so that the issue of yeush notwithstanding, you have something called shinui maise. The change, originally it was a branch attached to the bush, and now you've cut it and bound it together with the lulav and the aravis. That's the eged Rashi referred to. So does that not constitute a change in the nature of the item? And once you have what we call a shinui maise, that's no longer the item that was stolen. So that the one who did the cutting, it might be an act of thievery, but he gains possession of it. And could he not fulfill the mitzvah that way? And as far as mitzvah bo b'aveira is concerned, if you look in the Ritva, he explains this, and Rashi also alludes to this point, he alluded to it a bit earlier, that mitzvah bo b'aveira is a consideration only when the mitzvah is totally dependent on the act of thievery alone. However, if there is an additional element, an additional shinui that took place, for example, we mentioned shinui rishus before, here we're talking about a shinui maisa, then the issue of mitzvah bo b'aveira also falls away. So why wouldn't this be a legitimate approach? The Gemara answers. There are two possible answers. Aleph, kosovar, Rav Huna is of the opinion, lulav ein tzorech eged. The lulav doesn't need to be bound together with the hadasim aravos, so that if you are relying on the tying together to constitute the shinui maisa, it's not going to take place, because you don't need to tie them together. V'im timtzalom lulav tzorech eged, and even if you were to take the approach that the lulav needs to be bound together with the hadasim and the aravos, shinui hachoizer lebriyosahu, this is a type of change that goes back, that returns to its original state. And that would be simply by untying the knots. And therefore, it's not considered a real change. So that the original hadas branch is as it was from the beginning, a separate hadas that they would have been considered the thieves of. Therefore, Rav Huna insisted, let's just continue reading the rest of the phrase, v'shinui hachozer lebriyaso lav lo shmei shinui, and a shinui that can be restored to its original status is not considered a change. And as such, the avankari, since they're needing it for their own mitzvah of lulav, would not have been kone, would not acquire it this way. Question. V'liknuha b'shinui Hashem demeikor havelei asa v'hashta hoishana. why not consider it acquired by the Avakri themselves, not through simple Yeush, but by the fact that when it was attached to the bush and he cut it, at that point it was called an Asa, and now it's Sukkot time and he needs it for his Arbas Aminim. And Rashi adds, it was customary to tie them together, but the focus here isn't so much on the tying together per se, but rather on the change in name. And that idea of change in name, again, is an example of something that, in theory, constitutes a change going beyond the mere Yeush. And that would be a means of acquisition. The Gemara answers, sorry, me koranami laso hoshana koru le. At the outset, the Hadas branch, even before it's tied together with the other Minim, as it is in its natural state, it's referred to as Hoshana already. And as such, you don't have that element. So as far as Rav Huna's original suggestion, it's well received that the Avakri, for their own Hadasim, for their own mitzvah, they had better have the idol worshippers do the cutting, and with that you have the act of Gezel, and then the transfer to the Avakri would be the Shinui HaRashus, clinching the deal, making it legitimately, or legally, we should say, legally considered Lochem of the Avakri for their mitzvah. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.